here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, August 23rd, 2013. On this day in 1927, Nicola Sacco, a shoemaker, and Bartolomeo Vanzetti, a fish seller, were executed in Boston. The two men, Italian immigrants, had been convicted of the murders of a paymaster and his guard, robbing them of the nearly $16,000 payroll they were carrying. A few weeks later, Sacco and Vanzetti were arrested on a streetcar by a policeman who thought they looked suspicious. That September, Sacco and Vanzetti were indicted for the murders. Sacco and Vanzetti believed themselves to be victims of prejudice, anti-Italian prejudice, and many well-known artists and intellectuals demanded and campaigned for a retrial. They were unsuccessful. On August 23, 1927, 7 years after their arrest, Sacco and Vanzetti were sent to the electric chair. The execution caused riots in Germany, Paris, and London. On this date in 1305, William Wallace was executed for treason in London. Wallace was a Scottish hero. He had fought unsuccessfully against the English for Scottish independence. In the 14th century, a convicted traitor was typically hanged, drawn, and quartered. First, he was dragged behind a horse to the execution site, which was often some miles away. Then he was hanged until he was nearly dead, at which point he was cut down and disemboweled. His entrails were often burned in front of him. At this point, he might be beheaded. And the final step, quartering, involved tying each of his limbs to four separate horses, which were then spurred to run in opposite directions. In a history book called The History of English Law Before the Time of Edward I, reports that Wallace was drawn, that is, dragged behind a horse, for treason, hanged for robbery and homicide, disemboweled for sacrilege, beheaded for outlawry, and quartered for various depredations. And it's the birthday of Edgar Lee Masters, born in Garnet, Kansas in 1868. He grew up in small farming towns in Illinois, and he wanted to write a novel about growing up there, but he didn't know where to start. Then the editor of a poetry magazine sent him a book of poems called Selected Epigrams from the Greek Anthology, epigrams from classical Greece, many of them about the details of daily life and ordinary people. So Masters took that idea and he wrote Spoon River Anthology, in which the residents of a small Illinois town called Spoon River speak from beyond the grave and tell their life stories, more than 200 characters in all. The book became a huge success, going through 70 printings, and it changed the way Americans thought about small towns. American writers had focused almost exclusively on big cities, but Edgar Lee Masters turned small towns into places of intrigue, and American writers have been exploring the closets and bedrooms of small towns ever since. And here's a poem by Philip Larkin entitled Talking in Bed. Talking in bed ought to be the easiest. Lying together there goes back so far, an emblem of two people being honest. Yet more and more time passes silently outside. The wind's incomplete unrest builds and disperses clouds about the sky, and dark towns heap up on the horizon. None of this cares for us. Nothing shows why, at this unique distance from isolation, it becomes still more difficult to find words at once true and kind, or not untrue and not unkind. A poem by Philip Larkin entitled Talking in Bed from his collected poems published by Farrar, Straus and Giroux and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org, and by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. This is Billy Collins for the Writer's Almanac, hoping you will join us next time.